As we declare your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As the only man who saved, with the power of your salvation,
fill each heart.
Fill each heart, we pray. Amen. Lord, we worship you.
Heavenly Father, we worship your majesty. The world doesn't know who you are, but we do. We know. We know who you are. The covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose throne is in heaven and the earth is your footstool. The omnipotent God that rules in the affairs of men. The great and dreadful and terrible God, showing kindness and mercy to thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions who seek Him with all their heart. We know who you are. We enter your word with reverence and awe that it deserves. Seeing you saw it fit to share with human hearts the thoughts of the only wise God. We ask that same wisdom flow now as we go into this word. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak indeed as I should, as your oracle. And let it flow from you through me to your people. Let every heart be enriched. Let it be blessed. Let it be enlightened. I pray as I speak, power will flow from your throne to support and back the word that goes forth. Power that will heal, deliver, break yokes, and free men, so that they will be enabled and empowered to be doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further ask for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, to do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out the treasure of your word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name, all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said,
Amen.
This afternoon I have a very short but very important exhortation I want to share with us. And it's actually an extension of some of the things we've been saying today. I've entitled it Riches and Righteousness. As I was praying and preparing and waiting upon the Lord, He brought this scripture to me. You find in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8, I believe it's somewhere in there. Proverbs the 8th chapter. Thank you. No, it's not verse 12. It says, durable riches and righteousness. It's 13, somewhere in there. There we go. Verse 18. Thank you. Proverbs 8:18. Everybody say this after me. Say, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Turn to your neighbor and say, there are riches that are not durable. And of course, there are riches that do not come with righteousness. The Lord said I should come to, this is a word of encouragement, it's an exhortation. we need to understand that it is the will of God for us to be rich. I mentioned this glancingly when I was talking in the Bible study about the virtuous woman. The Bible says her clothing was silk and purple. We saw Rebecca being given gold earrings, bracelets, and I brought out the fact that it would be wrong to say that God doesn't want us to wear fine clothing because of what we read in Peter. You have to read it in its context, you know. And I said the important thing is to take care of the inside first. And then God wants to adorn the outside so that we will be attractive. We will attract people to God. When people see the beauty of God in our lives, not only the physical beauty, but the spiritual beauty, and then embellished with the physical beauty, you know, and then we have riches. We become attractive. And here, the scriptures actually tell us that it is God's will for us to be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 9 says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, yet for our, he was rich, excuse me, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." And somehow the Holy Spirit emphasized that word rich. It just kept coming to me, rich, rich. He didn't say, so you'll get by. He said, so you'll be rich. God doesn't just want us to be provided for. He actually wants us to be rich. This is clear scripture. I know the prosperity message in recent years has been twisted and distorted. But we'll be making a big mistake to throw away the baby with the bathwater and say, oh, because some people have preached it in the wrong way, then we won't say anything about it. We won't preach about it. You know, even the Lord, the Holy Spirit, at the time, he said, I know, you know, you'll be talking about this. He said, but I want you to tell my people, and I want you to remind them, and I want you to give them the balance. And that's what I'm going to do in these next few minutes. That my will, my purpose, my will is for you to be rich, not just to be provided for. Not just to get by. Hello, somebody. Rich. Don't your number say rich. Richie Rich. There was a comic we used to read when we were kids called Richie Rich. Not just rich, but Richie, Richie Rich. God wants us rich. Hallelujah. Just a few people are excited. I don't think some people want to be rich. Trust me, I'm a balanced prosperity teacher. You will hear in a few minutes. Amen. Amen. But I need to establish this. You see, so many of us have a poverty mentality. Sometimes we have a ment. Sometimes it's not our fault because, you know, people have seen people mess up. So a lot of people have, in recent years, and I am one of them, you know, have sort of stepped back from the prosperity message. You know, because of the mess that's going on. But God said, it's time for you now to let the people know, you know, and then you teach it prophetically and teach it in balance, and they'll get it and they'll be rich. God wants us rich. Hello, somebody. He doesn't just want us provided for. Now, God will provide for us, but that's not what he wants. He wants us rich. Let me correct that. You know, that's not all he wants. Yes, God will supply your need. Yes, God will provide for you. But God wants to go beyond that. He wants you to be rich. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. And this truth is corroborated, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 28 is one of the scriptures that has been a challenge and an inspiration to me down through the years. You know, Deuteronomy 28. This is God's promise to Israel. And incidentally, historically, save for a brief period of years during the reigns of David and Solomon, Israel has never really fulfilled these purposes. They've never enjoyed the fullness of it. Now they've been blessed, don't misunderstand me. But, you know, they really haven't. And I'll tell you the reason why. You know, and I'll tell you why it is our own destiny now to enjoy the fullness of these things and the reason for it. I think one of the big problems is that, you know, the reason for prosperity or riches has not been emphasized. I will not say it has not been mentioned. I certainly think it has been. But I do not think it has been emphasized strongly enough to give the proper motivation to God's people, and so that and the correct wisdom and understanding, so that they can actually experience being rich and then fulfill the purpose of their being rich. And so it says here, and it shall come to pass, I didn't hear you. If thou shalt hearken lazily, if thou shalt hearken carelessly, if thou shalt hearken occasionally, hello somebody, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do some of his commandments. You see why you're not rich? You need to see. To do some of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations above the earth. This hasn't happened yet. I'm talking for the church now. For Israel, it has happened in a measure. But even for Israel, it hasn't happened in a full measure. The only time in the history of Israel when this was fulfilled to a very small degree, for a short period of time, looking about maybe 40, 50 years, was during the reign of David, towards into the reign of Solomon for a short while, when the queen of Sheba and all the kings of the earth used to come. That was the only time. After that time, because of their disobedience, they lost it. And the church, this has not happened to us yet. We are not yet set above all the nations of the earth. That's why we go begging on television. Hello. And there's no other word for it, is begging. And it's certainly not the will of God. Above all nations of the earth, verse 2, if you like. And all these blessings, and some of these blessings, and some of these blessings, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Wow. This is super abundance. Not only will it come upon you, it will then overtake you. Let me share something with you. You know, when you have a need, you know, you pray, then God sends the money or the contract or whatever it is, you have the provision. That's great. That's wonderful. It comes upon you. But when it overtakes you, it means it's waiting for you in the front. It means that you will never have a time of lack. Having all sufficiency in all things. You know, when it overtakes you, it means that in front, at your back, there is blessing. There's the one that comes upon you. Then there's the one that's waiting for you in front. That's what God means by rich. The hour is coming and now is. And my wife prophesied this many years ago, you know, that the hour is coming and now is, where we will not have to, all we have to do is think about what we want. Thinking about the money to do it is not going to be an issue anymore. The money will always be there because it has overtaken us. When it has overtaken me, it's in front of you. You know, it's good to have blessings that come upon you and blessings that, you know, but when you are looking at blessings, that even before you get there, the blessing is already in front of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the will of God. Amen. Thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, let me jump to some other verses because of time. And I did promise it will be a short message, and it will be. Look at verse 10. There are a lot of other blessings, but I want to particularize, I want to focus on this rich issue. And all the people of the earth, and some of the people of the earth, and a few of the people on the earth, the people in your village, the people in your city, the people in Nigeria. You know, you have to read the Bible like this, so you get what the man is saying. Because you see, sometimes in our minds, we don't realize that we're reading, but we're reading it with a mindset that is already wrong. So we're not getting what God is saying. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Stop. That doesn't mean they will know that your name is Jesus. Now, I know that means that. You know, that's part of it. When he says, when they will know you are called, they won't just know you are Christians. Of course, they know you are Christians. They know you have the name of Jesus. But he says, they will know you are called by the character of God. They will know. They will know that your name is righteousness. That your name is loving kindness. That your name is justice. They will know. They will know that you are called by the name, the character of God. And consequently, even though the consequently is not there, but that's the implication, they will become afraid of you. The word afraid is, let me use another word, reverence. And that's where we get this word from, reverend, the very reverend, the most reverend, Olubi Johnson. Let me use my name so I won't offend anybody. You know, the most rev. Do you know what? It's what they're saying isn't wrong. It's just that it's not a title you get by going to a theological degree. It's something that comes when you begin to acquire the nature and the character of God. Then when people see, there will be reverence. They shall see that you are called by them and they shall be afraid. Reverence. And that's not just for the guys with the collar. It's for every Christian. Not just with the guy who wears a cassock. Any Christian can become reverent. When you acquire the name of God in your character, then they will see, they'll be afraid of you. Remember Samuel? They say, comest thou peaceably. Says, and the elders of the stand came out and they trembled. Mm-hmm. That's reverence. That's the real meaning of reverent. Verse 11. Quick. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. This is God's definition of rich. In the fruit of thy body. I didn't hear you. In the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground. In those days they lived in an agricultural society. We still do. You know, let me tell you something. Farming and food is going to be a great area of investment in the days ahead. Hello. My wife and I were sharing recently, and I'll just, you know, give you a little bit of insight. You must have multiple streams of income. This level we're talking about is not just waiting for one salary at the end of the month. That's fine. You start with that. But then you must learn to diversify in investments. And one major area of investment in the days that are going to be ahead is going to be food and agriculture. It doesn't mean you have to go and sit in a farm. Some people will do that. But you can buy shares and you can invest heavily in agriculture. Mechanized agriculture. Do you understand? Which will, it involves, you know, planting seeds and reaping things like tomatoes and cassava and all of that. But it goes beyond that. Packaging. Processing. We call it a value-added chain system. It's going to be the money spinner of the future. This, you can see now, I'm going motivational now. I'm a prosperity preacher, trust me. Amen. Yeah, just do it right. That's all. Praise the Lord. Plenteous in the fruit of thy ground and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Verse 12. Glory to God. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Don't your neighbor say, what does that mean? No. Open. Honey, it's not just open. The good treasure. It means that there's some treasure that's not so good. God is going to open choice treasure. The one he has not opened for years. He will, or reserved one. Pastor Bega. You know, he said his good treasure, he will open it. Something that has been sealed before, that he didn't open before. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because nobody had the character to handle it. That's why I'm preaching this message. Because it's a prophetic, current, cutting edge, you know, present truth message. You know, he's going to open to us his good treasure. He said he's given some treasure, but he's got the real McCoy. Thank you. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in its season, to bless some of the work of thy hand. Can you imagine every investment you make is making money? Once you step somewhere and you are a part of it, they are blessed. Hello, Ajo, you are. The hour is coming, and now is that if you just buy shares in some company, maybe you know some bank like GTB or Zenith or whatever, you know, simply because you are a part of it, they're already blessed. Because wherever your money is, it must be blessed. You carry the presence and the blessing of God with you. Wherever you step, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Once you step in there and you're a part of it, they become blessed because of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To bless all the work of thy hand. Everything you are involved in, God takes special interest and says, my covenant person is there. And because he's there, they must be blessed. So even if there are unbelievers who are running the thing and all of that, they will be blessed because of you. Like Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. And like Egypt was blessed because of Joseph. This is rich. All the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. Like I said, nobody's done this. Not even Israel. Israel did a little bit of it during the time of Solomon, but they only just scratched the surface. This church hasn't certainly done this because where's he borrowing? Praise the Lord. Hello. Come on, Shanua. Amen. Amen. You know, this is why it's prophetic and it's cutting edge and it's present truth. Because God is his riches and righteousness. That's the title of this message. I'm going to get to the righteousness in a minute. You know, but I want to first of all establish what God means. What's in God's mind when he says rich? This is what he means. Be so rich we can lend to nations. There's something going on in the world today. I'm not an economist, but I do have some knowledge of economics, and I didn't study it in school, but I have some idea. An economy is simply a system in which they produce goods, they consume goods. You say a strong economy is economy that produces more than it consumes. A weak economy is one that consumes more than it produces. So when you have a strong economy, you've got one in which they are productive, and where we talk about Pastor Tunji and others will tell you about that, you know, trade deficit. If for example I'm selling more than I'm buying, then I have a plus, you know, instead of a deficit. You know, a good economy is one I am making so much money. I'm buying from other nations, but I make so much money that I buy what I need and I still have much more money after I bought it, so I don't have to borrow. Hello? So that's a strong economy. If I'm a producing economy and I'm exporting, and I export much more than what I am importing, then I have a surplus. If I am importing more than I am exporting, then I have a deficit. And so I have to go and borrow. Which is what's happening in our economy at the moment, particularly now. You know, so you have to go and borrow for capital expenditure. I want to build bridge. I want to build, you know, airport. I want to build that. But I don't have any money because all my money I've used it to import petrol and I've used it to import food and I've used it to import toothpick. Hello.
you know, and all of that. So there's nothing left for me to build the infrastructure with. So I now need money to build the infrastructure. So I have to now go to IMF or the World Bank or the African Development Bank, you know, or some other financial institution to go and borrow money to be able to finance my infrastructure expense. But that's what's happening with the nations as I speak. Even America is borrowing now. They're not producing more than they're importing. So they're living in a deficit. So they have what you call a financial deficit. You know, there's what they call it, the debt. And here comes the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the time. My wife hit the nail on the head. It is in the time of recession. The stars are always shining, but you only see them when it is dark. And in comes the Church of Jesus Christ, like Joseph. And so we say, you don't need to go to IMF. One amen. This guy is going to get it before all of you. If you can believe it, believe it. If you can receive it, receive it. You know, this is our problem. That's why I'm spending time explaining what God means by rich. Because your own understanding of rich is, you know, buy BMW, buy Benz, live in Bodija, and go for summer every holiday, and so I'm rich. You're not rich. You're just provided for. Say, Pastor Olubi is rich. No, not yet. I'm not rich yet. I'm on the way. And Akwemora ni temidire. So I am rich. Pastor K, I'm rich. Hello, somebody. Amen. God wants to change your mentality. You're provided for, but you're not rich. The rich, the truly, the divinely rich man. That's a definition. He's not just rich, he's divinely rich. That is, he's rich by God. It is, his riches do not come from man. His riches come from God, can lend to nations. And that's what's going to happen. As I speak today, US, Nigeria, England, practically every nation is in deficit. They have to go and borrow. They don't understand. They don't even know, you know, what the future is going to hold. But God has an answer. You know the answer? You. And I. The church. When we begin to fulfill our prophetic destiny and become really rich, we can then begin to pour. Say, no, don't go to IMF. What do you want to build? 3 bridges? You want to build 1 university? You want to build this? We'll finance it. But you will let us preach anytime, anywhere, when we want. Trust me, they will say yes. That is it. Verse 13, I gotta close. Am I helping anybody here? My people message you like when you like. And the Lord shall make the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You know, if thou shalt hearken, again you see the condition, you know, to the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to all his commandments. Now, this is God's, I took time to explain that, Lord help me, you know, to explain what God means by rich. Your understanding of rich is a guy who lives in VI or in Lekki, has 2 or 3 houses, you know, he has about 5 or 6 cars, you know, he can go to England and America anytime he likes, he can, you know, he has a little of money in his bank account, he can send his children to school in England. Say the man is rich. He's not rich. He's okay. That is not God's definition of rich. And that was not what Jesus died for. Let me correct that. That was not all Jesus died for. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Incidentally, only on the cross. He became poor on the cross. He wasn't poor in his life. He was poor on the cross. He was not sick all his life. He was sick on the cross. He was not sin during his life. He became sin on the cross. The sin, the sickness, and the poverty all happened on the cross. Are you listening to me? It was just a legal thing. It was just for that short period of time. And when he was raised from the dead, he got it all back. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. Glory to God. I'm not talking to anybody here. Okay. So, the Lord Jesus, that was not all he paid for. He paid for us to be rich. That ye through his poverty, that time down the cross and that deprivation that he had, said that you might be rich. And that's why I've taken time to explain from Scripture God's definition of rich. Is to, the thing is overtaking you, is having investments that are making money, they're constantly making money. You can't outspend yourself. The rate at which the funds, the wealth is being created far outstrips the rate at which you can spend it. That is rich. Am I talking to anybody? Now, having said that, let's now quickly move to the purpose for being rich. Why does God want us to be rich? You know, the rich person, according to my definition and the Bible definition, he's not worrying about children's school fees, not worrying about food on the table. He doesn't think about such things. So why does God want him rich? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Quick. 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he, I didn't hear you, that giveth thee the power to get wealth. That, turn to your neighbor and say, this is the reason. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the reason. Is not to have 12 cars in front of your house, so that they will, you say, hey, you are all my witnesses. Say, this is the reason. Is not for you to have 12 cars in front of your house. Some of them you will never drive. It's the truth. It's all vanity. This is the reason. This is the reason. This is the reason for the wealth. This is the reason for the riches. That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, we have to answer another question. What is the covenant? You know, when I read the Bible, because I'm dealing with a very intelligent person. So whenever I read the Bible, I was like, God, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? You know, I don't just assume. What is the covenant? He said, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, that I will write my law upon their hearts. So God wants us to finance not just the evangelism, but the discipleship, because it is in discipleship that the covenant is kept, that the law of life and love will be written in men's hearts. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's why God wants you rich, so you can be a channel through which you can finance the discipleship of the nations. And come and ask me. We have one small this thing we're doing in the village here. You've been doing it for some years now. You know, we have to, and God is helping us, you know. And that's just one tiny village. If you multiply that thing in 100,000 places, you'll be looking at a weekly revenue where you have to be given to them in the millions of dollars. I'm talking about weekly. I'm talking about weekly. If I have 1,000 missionaries today,
all over the world, in different villages and all of that, who are discipling the people and all of that, you know, in different places, you know, to for them to do the work properly. I'm not talking about this one where you just send people and they are hungry and they are begging the people and bam, 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 bam. Don't let's disgrace our God. What you cannot do, don't do. Just keep quiet, sit down and pray. When God blesses you, then do it after the glory. And the glory there is also is power and is also money. He said, then you send you to the nations, you know, for them to be there. They're going to set up school, hospital, take care of their children and all of that. By the time you're looking at all of that, you know, you're looking at a team of 5-10 people, you know, and you want to keep them on the mission field, you know, your weekly outlay will be in the millions of dollars. Your yearly one will be in the billions. And that's money that's going out constantly. Then how do you balance the one that's coming in? You have to be rich. Is it clear? That is the purpose for being rich. To establish his covenant. Any other motivation is wrong. You don't need to be rich to be content. Having food and raiment, let us there be content. So our reason for being rich is not food and raiment. Is to establish the covenant. Is it clear? Don't mix it up. Are you listening to me? I'm going to close. Now, how? We've seen what it is. I had to spend a long time there because I had to change our mentality completely. You know? Then we've seen the reason why. Now, how? 3 John verse 2 tells us in a nutshell. I wish, the other translation says, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in even as thy soul prospers. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Very quickly, for a prosperous soul is one whose the will is submitted to the will of God constantly, whose mind is constantly enlightened with revelation knowledge, and whose emotions are constantly controlled and tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. Check out how prosperous you are. I've just given you the definition. You can easily check yourself. Now, of course, we're all at different levels of spirituality. But that is, and it is for this reason that we really haven't seen rich. Because God can't trust riches to somebody whose soul hasn't prospered to that degree. You will only be entrusted with the degree of riches that your soul can handle, or the degree to which your soul has prospered. This is pure Bible. And this is the reason why the prosperity message has been abused. You can't preach this rich that I'm talking about now if you don't preach this, because you're gonna mess it up. This is the key. This is the thing. The reason is obvious. I hit it glancingly at the beginning of my message. You know, if your character can't handle, is it they shall know that you're called by the name of the Lord, they shall be afraid of you. If your character cannot handle, you know, just a little bit of money, you get proud. It's true. Just a little bit, not much. Nothing much. Yeah, a few million dollars here and there, and then nobody can talk to you anymore. Now, so blessed by what mommy did today, my wife. And I say it's the glory of God, not because of her, you know, but to the glory of God. You know, you see how she knelt down for all those elderly people? Are they going to give her money? No. And then she gave the example of Solomon. As rich as her, Solomon misbehaved later, sadly, very sadly. But let's give him his due. As rich and as powerful as Solomon was, when his mother came, he got up from his throne and prostrated. Only the Jews and the Yorubas I know have that in our culture. You see an elderly like your mother or somebody who's other, you don't. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I go and greet my grandfather, I say, Ogo. And then they would laugh because they knew I didn't know. Then they say, you should, you know, yeah, you know, you don't stick out your hand. I'm sure you go. Fagba lagba. What do baleni? Am I talking to anybody here? You're not talking to Mr. Wood or Mr. Green. But you know, it's not a Yoruba thing, it's a God thing. It's a Jewish thing. It's a God, it's God who taught them. Solomon got up from his throne and prostrated for his mother in front of everybody. King or no king. Are you listening to me? It's part of the humility of the soul. So when you now become a multi-billionaire, a trillionaire, you know, when I was a kid, it used to be millionaires. Today is billionaires. What is coming now is going to be trillionaires. I'm not talking about governments now. You know, the state government and the budget of Nigeria now is maybe 7 trillion or something. You know, the day and the hour is coming, and now is when there will be individuals who will be having 10 trillion, 20 trillion, 100 trillion. Receive it. Hallelujah. But your soul too must be in trillion. The humility, the humility of the soul must be in trillion. So with all your trillions, your mother walks in you, Dobale. The money does not get to your head. Your pastor says, where are you? Yes, sir. You say, money trillion. I'm in my private jet, pastor. And you know, I just feel I need to just relax. I'm going to take it easy in the marine next week. I'll turn the problem, come at us all night. Can you see why you have not got the trillion? Can you see why many of us are not rich? We don't even have that. And we're still not submitted. Am I talking to anybody here? You're not going to get it, at least not from God. Another message for another day. You understand? If that soul is not humble, God won't give it to you. He'll provide for you. You will eat, you will drink, but you're not going to be rich. My brother, I'm not talking to you. I'm not downloading that. The brother was just looking at me like, ah, pastor. You'll be rich in Jesus' name, but your soul must prosper. Humility of the soul. Revelation knowledge. Not sufficient revelation. The degree of revelation and enlightenment of the mind will determine the degree of riches. Because God is not going to give that kind of money to a fool. Who will use it to marry the daughters of the East Country. That's what happened with Solomon. And it's not going to happen again. For a greater than Solomon is here. Not going to do it again. Your mind must be enlightened. Your emotions must be controlled. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. You're the kind of person who will sit on your throne and you will look around and say, where can I bless somebody else? Ashore kiri. Akiri shore. Be looking. Not, look at me. But when you are there, you're thinking of the next person you can help. You're thinking of, how can I bless that nation? How can we solve that problem? How can we help these people? That will be all that is inside your thoughts. Not thinking about, let them see me. I'm the richest guy in the world now. Hallelujah. Praise God. The God will go from God to God. So he's no longer God, he's now God. No, we're not going to make all those mistakes anymore. Mm-mm. Not in this one. Because all the stringent requirements have been put there. You will not see this kind of prosperity if your soul does not prosper. It ain't going to happen. You can take it to the bank. I don't know how many people are still excited about the message. I'm going to close. I promise you it's not going to be a long message, and I'm going to keep my word. All right? Now, being rich, that's why I call it riches and righteousness. Go back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. Riches and honor, I didn't hear you, are with me. Just as a side, you know, this is just free of charge. Remember what I taught you towards the end of last year? He that followeth after and mercy shall find life and righteousness and... Can you see the link? And how do you follow after that? Mercy. How do you get it? Honesty of heart, humility. You're not going to get this kind of honor without a humble heart. And not only a humble heart, you maintain it after you get it. It's easy to be humble when you don't have anything. Not totally easy, but because almost some of the proudest people are people who don't even have anything. Which ironically, you know, but seriously, you know, but it is far more difficult to remain humble when you are extremely rich. And people are just following you all over the whole place and shouting your name and saying, and to keep your head straight. That's why you need loving kindness, righteousness, peace, temperance, long suffering, gentleness. If you don't have it, your head will fly off. Shon Yewa. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable, the one that will last. This is not the one that will be, you know, in 1 or 5 or 10 years, then has gone. Durable riches and righteousness. Go back to that message again. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy shall find, you know, he will find, the first one is right standing, the other one is right doing, you know, life and honor. You see it again, you see the link. I'm going to close with this. You need, thank you for that. He that followeth after righteousness, and mercy findeth life and righteousness and honor. This is the way to get this kind of riches. There's no other way to get it. Sorry, because he lets a forgive me. Are you listening to me? This one is not the one you can all come and come and give me $7 and you get 77. This is my own personal. It's not like that one. This is the real one that will give you real riches, durable riches, lasting riches, and righteousness. I'm not talking to anybody here. Now, because these are the conditions, it takes time. And that's what people don't want to hear. It takes time. You know why? It takes time to grow fruit. That's why we haven't seen this kind of riches. It takes time. It takes time to develop character. Loving kindness and justice and righteousness and peace and long suffering. It takes time. It takes time. You plant seed, you water it, you weed it, you pray that Christ be formed in you. It takes time. But it can and is being done. And you will do it. Don't worry about the time. It'll take time. I'm not going to take 100 years. No. But it's going to take some time. It will take time. Hence, and this is what I'm going to close with. Hence, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. It takes time. A faithful man shall abound in blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Selah. You cannot be rich the way God wants you to be rich. In a hurry. Because your soul cannot prosper in a hurry. It's not very exciting anymore. When I was teaching about the real, everybody shouted. It's the truth. Look at verse 20 and I'm going to close. 22 rather. Same 28. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye.
The Yoruba call it ochukokoro.
God wants us to be rich. But go God's way. You are going to be rich. In fact, you are rich. Thou art rich. He told the church. He said, I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. You're rich. The only problem is you have not developed your soul so as to create the avenue through which the rich is already there. You've been blessed with all riches in heaven. You're rich. The house of prayer, the house of prayer. Once you allow that soul to go through its spiritual education, and you let it get its humility, its revelation knowledge, the fruit of the Spirit, your soul now, instead of becoming a block, becomes an open door through which the riches you already have will come into manifestation. Let us pray. Talk to God. You're rich. Riches and righteousness. He that hasteth to be rich, he has an evil eye. Don't be in a hurry. Now this one that you're going to get everything overnight. All this funny lying in wait to deceive, and cunning craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. I'm not in that business. I'm telling you the real thing. God wants us to be rich. But it has to be through the prosperity of the soul. Consequently, it takes time. So he that is hasty to be rich, says he will not be innocent. He that hasteth to be rich is going to have an evil eye. That's the mind. The mind will be corrupted. Be content with what you have. Food and raiment. God's given us that already. Do you understand? Then start working on your soul. As you work on your soul and you develop yourself spiritually, you will become rich. Then God can come to you and say, I want you to give that nation 1 trillion. And I want you to give those other people there this. You become like Joseph. All the nations of the earth will be coming to you. And you say, okay, yeah, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. And this will now cause the doors of the nations to open. Scripture says so. This is... what I've preached to you now is the key to the discipleship of one of the keys, not the only one. The glory and the anointing and the power, spirit of our measure is also part of it. But the spirit of our measure is what's going to bring this anyway. The riches are going to be a key because we cannot disciple the nations with our money. No matter how much anointing you have. You're going to buy books, you're going to buy your computer, you're going to buy technology, you're going to buy, do hospital, you're going to build roads, you're going to, if all kinds of, we will become a government within a government. We will have to provide all our own infrastructure. There are places where we'll have to build entire villages and roads and bridges and everything. And we will have the cash to do it. We don't have to go and beg anybody for anything. I'm not talking to anybody here. Change your mentality. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. God wants us rich, but with righteousness and a prosperous soul that can handle the money, the wealth responsibly, and use it for its purpose to establish his covenant upon the earth. Shaddai, El Shaddai. Raise your other hand. I want you to make a covenant today with El Shaddai. The word El Shaddai means the all-sufficient God. What I've preached to you requires a fresh revelation of El Shaddai. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who raised up Joseph, who literally fed the whole world in his time. He hasn't changed. He's still the same today. We're going to pray together in a minute, but I want you to say, God, show me what you mean by El Shaddai. I want to understand in my life. Ask him. You are the God of Joseph, the God of Abraham, the God of Solomon. Come and show me in my life, in this my generation, who you really are, as El Shaddai. Then change your mentality from just a need mentality to a rich mentality with the correct motivation, please. See, God now is meeting our needs. Food, raiment, which is fine. We start there. Don't despise it. But you understand that that's not the fullness of the covenant. That's not the fullness at all. How are we going to disciple the nations? The ethnos. Riches. Establishes covenant upon the earth. And raise out a hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me of the truth that you want us to be rich and righteous, right standing, right doing, so that men will see your character, your love, your righteousness, your justice in our lives. And we will use that righteousness and we'll use that wisdom to distribute your wealth for the benefit of the discipleship of the nations, to establish your covenant in the earth. Oh God, reveal this to me afresh. Help me to have a bigger vision of you, to see you as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the God that truly is more than enough, the God that gives wisdom, the God that gives ability, the God that gives strength to create wealth. Hallelujah. Oh God, help me. God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to enlarge my vision. Help me to enlarge my mind. Help me to enlarge my understanding so that your purpose can come into my heart and I will not rest until I fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen. Likatoro frenengars. Zelemekatoria katufrides. Leprikitofrides. Zefriria la katufrides. Lengre della shokiko remo sufridis lombridis lengre doloma shalakaros zifridikos lepridico toloma shangaros lepridico tofrinias lepridico tofrine. Thank you, Jesus. Neca doloma toloma tufridis lengre dolos lengre doloma tufridis. Lumbri di cotofres, number come to Lumatufri di Ska, number Catolumatufri di Fische, Zofri Angara Dolomashala, Rimos Sheka, Rose Freder, Lumbri di cotofres, no Fidis, Longer Dolos, Tufriningas, Tofidis, Lingardaras, Tufidis, Tolomaras, Ziki Tufres, Lumbri de las, Ziki Tufriningas, Tulumatufres, Linger Dolomatufres, Zofri de Turas. In Jesus' name, keep your hand on your body. I want to pray for a healing and a miracle. Whatever area you need God's power in your life this week, focus on it now and say, God, please have mercy and help me. He's going to help you. He's a good God. He will help you. And when he helps you, he expects you to reciprocate. He doesn't make it a condition. He will help you unconditionally because of his mercy and the anointing that is present on this service. But after he helps you, he expects some degree of reciprocation, you know, of repentance. The goodness of God is to lead us to repentance and improve in areas of your life. God wants to see how you're going to deal with that spirituality, how you're going to start working with that soul and with that humility and that mind and the blood, the life, the power, the Spirit of God. He wants to see that. He likes to see that. Let me put it this way. He likes to see that. So ask God for what you want and we're going to pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood.
from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I release resurrection healing power into my body now, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, all my internal organs, into the blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body to function error-free, into my immune system to function error-free optimally in the name of Jesus. And I also receive power for my miracle in the name of Jesus. Father, I trust you to work on my behalf in my situation in Jesus' name. Nikatolo mashale brikitufris. Dongaras, Tolomangardos, Shikitufris, Lombridis, Sufridis, Angardufris, Jikitufrides, Longardolos, Tushkufrides, Lengardolos, Tufrides, Tufridelamores. In Jesus' name. We're going to share the grace, and then you're almost 60 now. He said, look at all of you, Pastor, you guys 60. He said, I didn't give you money too early. So that destroyed you. He said, but your day has come. He says, your latter end shall greatly increase. See, so many of us say, when will God do this? The time is coming now. You have the maturity. You have the wisdom to be able to handle it. Then you will channel it properly. You will not use it on youthful lusts like Solomon did. Free of charge. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. 10 of us say, you are rich with a prosperous soul. God bless you. Have a great week.